In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, I want to share with you three things today. The first is a quote, the second is a story, and the third is a reminder. These three things have to deal with today's Gospel reading, in which the Lord tells us to be merciful as our Heavenly Father is merciful. And thereby we will become His children, His sons and His daughters. That He will dwell within us and become not only our God, but our Father. This is the wonderful gift that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to grant unto us, that knowledge of God as Father. To have the Holy Spirit crying out, Abba, Father. To become adopted sons and daughters. This is the good news of the Gospel. When we consider the Gospel today, we wonder sometimes perhaps if it's even possible in our current context to live this way, to do good to those who do evil, pray for our enemies, love those who persecute us, turn the other cheek, to do all of these things that the Lord asks and actually also commands us to do so that we might become His children. Wonder, is it possible in today's context to do this? Think about what's going on in the world. Is it possible to love our enemies, those who persecute us, those who are out to kill us and destroy us? Is it possible to do good to them? Is it possible to love them? The quote I'd like to share with you is from St. Nikolai Vita Mirovich, one of the American saints, and he speaks very powerfully about the high calling of the Gospel. He says to us, Christ's command that we do to others as we would that they do to us is so natural and so clearly good that it is a wonder and a shame that it has not long ago become a daily habit among men. No man desires that others do him evil. Let him therefore do no evil to others. Every man desires that others do good to him. Let him therefore do good to others. Every man desires to be forgiven when he sins. Let him therefore forgive the sins of others. Every man desires that others be sad in his sadness and rejoice in his rejoicing. Let him then be sad in the sadness of others and rejoice in their rejoicing. Every man desires that others speak good of him and give him honor, feed him in hunger, visit him in sickness, and protect him in persecution. Let him do the same to others. This holds good both for individuals and for groups, for neighboring tribes, nations, and countries. Were this to be adopted as the rule by all classes, nations, and countries, all malice and conflict between classes would cease, as would enmity between nations and warfare between countries. This is the medicine for all such sicknesses, and there is no other. Oh, that every man would think about the number of those with whom he is at enmity, rather than those who are enemies to him. In one day, the dark face of this world would shine like the sun. St. Nikolai gives us a vision of what it would be like were the Gospel to be practiced. We would have, in a sense, heaven on earth. St. Basil tells us that this command of the Lord, to do unto others as we would like them to do to us, is the golden rule. It is the best commandment. It is the best rule. It is the best way of life. St. Basil tells us that there's also a silver rule. Does anyone know what the silver rule is? It's like unto the gold rule, but a little bit different. The silver rule is not to do to others what we don't want them to do to us. You see the difference. The golden rule is more positive. Do unto others as we want them to do to us. The silver rule, don't do to others what we don't want them to do to us. St. Basil says that one obviously is better than the other, as gold is better than silver. One corresponds to the rule of heaven, because in heaven, everyone does to one another as they would like done unto them. He said the other rule, the silver rule, corresponds to the earth. And this is the general commandment that even nations and societies abide by. Don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. And let's take a rule from the gospel. This is the golden rule, to lay down our lives for others, because we would want them to do the same for us, that we would abide in love. The silver rule, which governs the earth, says not that we have to lay down our lives for others, but that we cannot take life. We cannot kill. Across the world, because it's in the very heart of man and his conscience, we know that we shall not kill. This is outlawed everywhere. It is the silver rule that is the underpinnings for civilization, for governments. It is the golden rule that is the underpinnings for the kingdom of God. And one is higher than the other. But both are given by God, so that we might not fall and break these commandments to the point that we enter into hell. Heaven knows the golden rule. The earth, the silver rule. Hell breaks both of these rules. When evil is unrestrained, by the will or by force. When we consider the relationship between church and state, we find in the writings of our church an ideal called symphonia, that the church and the state are to work together, that they're to support one another, each having their own separate task. The church minding the things of heaven, the state minding the things of the earth. And they're to uphold these laws of God, the gold and the silver rules, so that evil might be restrained, and so that men might turn to goodness, to God. I want to share with you something. This is the story, something from our history, the history of the church. In the 9th century, when St. Cyril and Methodius, who were credited as the enlighteners of the Slavic peoples, when they were missionizing the Moravian peoples, and they introduced the Glagolitic alphabet, which preceded the Slavonic alphabet, when they were doing this missionary work, they encountered many people of different mindsets. One group that they encountered were the Saracens. Perhaps some of you have heard of the Saracens. They were an Islamic group, and like many other Islamic groups, they sought to take over as much of the world as they could, and to do it by force. St. Cyril was asked to go as an ambassador, as a diplomat, to these Saracens who were in encampments ready to mount an attack against the newly missionized people. St. Cyril went, and he met in the camp with the leaders. They had a discussion. And the Saracen leaders were intelligent. They were conniving. They were deceptive. And they challenged St. Cyril to something of a theological argument, something of a debate. And they said, How is it that if your God tells you to turn the other cheek and to love your enemies, pray for them, to do them good, how is it that you will take up arms and fight against us? St. Cyril responds and he says, let me ask you a question. If the Lord God gives two commandments, which is it better to fulfill, one of them or both of them? And the response obviously was, it's better to fulfill them both. This we strive to do as Christians. We strive to turn the other cheek, love our enemy, pray for those who persecute us, to do good to those who do evil. And we do this whenever we are attacked individually, even to the point of being willing to lay down our lives, not to return evil for evil. And in this we keep the commandments. But when our neighbor is threatened, when our neighbor is persecuted, it is our job to lay down our lives for them in defense. And it is this, for this reason, that we take up arms against you, so that you might not destroy their bodies with your weapons or their souls with your false religion. Very powerful. St. Cyril's response. This was from the 9th century, but not much has changed in the world today, has it? True, Saracens have been replaced with another name, ISIS, ISIL, or other groups within the Islamic world. This religion of Islam, politically correctly labeled a religion of peace, is anything but. History tells us this. Well, it says that the tree is known by its fruit. And since Islam came into existence, we have seen the fruit of violence, enmity and hatred. We've seen this religion spread by force in an attempt to take over the whole world. It continues to this day. And this religion is in violation, certainly, of the golden law, the golden rule, but it's also certainly in violation of the silver rule. And if that doesn't tell you where this religion comes from, I don't know what will. The reminder for us is also from St. Nikolai Vyodorovich. He tells us that charity, being merciful, being loving, is an active virtue. And in this, it surpasses sympathy. He says that if you were to walk down a street and you find somebody who's a beggar, or somebody who's sick, or in need, and you walk past them, feeling sorrow for them in your heart, but doing nothing, that you're practicing sympathy, or perhaps empathy, but you're not practicing charity. You're not practicing mercy. You're not practicing love. Because love is active. Love responds to the needs of others. When we think about our response to the world situation, our response can be nothing but love as Christians, nothing of action. And that may mean pursuing diplomacy, and certainly that is our first option, but that also may mean taking up arms in defense of the defenseless, in love for our neighbor, and even doing that to the point of losing our own lives. When we think about those people involved in this conflict, in this struggle, and we see to what extent they have gone, and what extent they pledged themselves to go, we should be in awe. Seeing those people who go over there as diplomats, ambassadors, relief workers, soldiers, we see them going into battle, into the regions, not of the earth, but even into hell, and fighting against this evil, and trying to lift people out so that they could see that there is love in this world, that there are people who will lay down their lives for them. There are people who will do good to them as they hope will be returned. That the golden rule can be practiced. Brothers and sisters, today we'll offer some additional prayers for all of those who are immersed in this conflict, in this struggle against evil. We'll pray for the aid workers, the diplomats, the soldiers, the people enduring persecution. And we'll also pray for those who are persecuting. We'll pray for those who are our enemies. And we'll ask that God change their minds, change their hearts, that he convert them to the way of heaven. And we'll ask that if they do not want heaven, that God strengthen our states in this world, our government, our God-given government, to do what it is tasked to do, to restrain evil by force. And we'll do all of this, asking these prayers, with full knowledge that day is coming when God will come and he will put all evil under his foot. Remember, as Christians, the first coming is when our Lord comes as the diplomat, as the ambassador, telling us the way of peace, giving us his gospel, asking us to willingly embrace it and follow it, and thereby make that ascent to heaven. But with his second coming, he will come as commander, as a general, leading the army of goodness into victory. And he will put that evil by force. Then every knee will bend, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord the glory of God, the Father. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Amen.